Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show. This is the podcast about the radio show, and you can get it all the same places that you get the DA Show's podcast feed. Just search Permission Granted. Rate, subscribe, review, that helps other people find it. Also, we have all of our other ARM programming, essential programming, podcast-wise, available on these platforms as well. For my podcast, New York Accent, it's available all these same platforms. Mraz's One Giant Step is also out there as well. So enjoy it all, especially the summers. You've got drives ahead of you, vacations ahead of you, maybe flights ahead of you. It's all here on demand for you. Now, this is side A of the PGP. Coming up, Pat Boyle will be with Mraz for side B. I'm assuming you guys did a pair of PGPs while I was gone for paternity leave.
Oh, yes, we did. You think we wanted side C punishments? Of course we did. Now, the problem was there was no side B. It was just me and Bogus straight for about 20 minutes on both of those podcasts. But we knew. We said these two, Pete and DA, are out on baby watch. We cannot be not doing PGPs. We'll get killed for them.
Yeah, I'm glad that you guys had that birdie in the back of your head saying that you had to do it, because I'm embarrassed to say I was so out of it. And I wasn't traveling back and forth to work, so I just listened to no podcast and never even checked to see if the PGP was downloaded.
Oh, it had to be. And you think the listeners wouldn't have tweeted at you incessantly fact that you were being on baby watch? Oh, you got to punish these guys. They didn't do it. There was no way we were not doing PGPs last week.
So on Trash Tuesday, you were out, and Bogus was out, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Bogus was back on Wednesday, but both of you guys were out on Tuesday. And so on Trash Tuesday, somebody's trash was you guys blasting Pete for being gone. And then they said he had a baby girl, leave him alone. And so I said, Pete, did that happen? Did those guys, you know, rake you over the coals? He said, I didn't hear it, but that was my sense. So I'm going to go straight to the horse's mouth. Were you guys crushing Pete for taking the 2 weeks off like he did?
No. We never crushed him for taking time off. He had a kid. What we did crush him for was incessantly texting us about the show or about, like, you saw some of the angry texts whenever we were talking about certain, you know, parts of the moving parts with his schedule. So we would kind of, without revealing too much, needle that Pete is caring too much. And if you're going to care that much, then just come back to work. We don't need to deal with your nonsense while you're off is the way it was.
I see. So was Pete listening to the show despite taking care of Kerry?
So while you didn't know there was a PGP out, I think poor Kerry has gotten way too much of Mraz and Bogus, because that's the only thing I could think of. And no, it wouldn't be like every day at 8:20. It would be like Pete would send a text at 6:30. Pete would send a text at 9:20. And Pete, even in those times, could not let go of the show, even if he was up in the morning doing whatever feedings or whatever he was doing.
Wow. I guess that might be the show of a veteran that's been around the block before in this, because to me, my head was swimming for those 2 weeks. I did not, I couldn't even come up for air, let alone listen to the show and have takes on it.
Well, and let me tell you, because one of the takes that really started a lot of things that irritated Pete, actually even irritated my mom. And I'm curious where you stand on this. Mm. Last week, I'm losing track of the weeks, and I'm sure you are too. I mean, you have to be losing track worse than me. It was either last week or the week before. There was National Donut Day at Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, nobody was aware of this. So the background is, you get a free donut with the purchase of a drink. It was the day Emmanuel was in. So Emmanuel asks if anybody wants Dunkin' Donuts, he's going to take a walk. Myself, Bogus, and Pat Boyle each get, you know, coffees, green teas, whatever. And Emmanuel goes and he gets, you know, gets the drinks. He comes back. And at this point, we had a couple texts from people saying, hey, just so you know, today's National Donut Day. He hands us each our drinks, but he doesn't hand us a donut. Not that we needed one. And when he came back in, I asked Emmanuel, I go, by the way, did they give you donuts for our drinks or whatever? And he says, yeah, I brought a couple of the newsroom. Kevin Wall ate them. And I said, excuse me? He goes, well, they handed me free donuts, so I asked if Kevin wanted them. So it became a bit on the show where I called in Kevin, blindsided him with him drinking a Poland Spring. I asked Kevin, I said, I got this drink. Bogus got this drink. Boyle got this drink. I go, what are you drinking there? I go, so where's your iced coffee or anything? And then he said, I didn't get any. So I said, so how did you end up eating the donuts? And basically I skewered him that you can't be eating other people's donuts and eating free stuff in your first week back. This after he just took free company Yankee tickets.
Oh, that's what that text thread was about. Yes. I had no idea what it was about.
He's 1 week back into being, you know, with our company. He takes the free Yankee tickets from the company. Then he's eating everybody's donuts that should have been ours since we actually paid for the drinks with no thank you, no care in the world, no apologies. And he blamed Emmanuel. So because of that, Pete was listening and he claimed I'm a big bully. And that I should not have done that to Kevin Wall on the air.
Right. That was a text thread that we had internally on the show. Right. And I was reading it going, what happened? What's going on with Kevin Wall? What's
background.
Going on? I see.
But let's be real, DA. If this happened with you in the power chair, of course it's an on-air bit. It's a Seinfeld episode. The guy eats everybody's donuts.
No,
he doesn't pay for a single drink.
No question. So did Kevin Wall recognize he had committed a faux pas?
Nope. He said Emmanuel shouldn't have handed it to him. Emmanuel should have been on top of who the donuts went to. He would not apologize at all.
So he was claiming ignorance that he had no idea that those were free donuts for the people that bought drinks.
Yeah. Now the irony is he's probably right that at the core, Emmanuel, how he wasn't smart of this, Emmanuel thought Dunkin' Donuts was just handing him four free donuts for his health, not the idea that they were associated with the drinks purchased, and he just handed them to Wall. So Wall at his core is right, but Wall didn't ask the important follow-up. Why would they just hand you free donuts?
And he ate all of them.
I think that was the thing. He might have eaten one or two, but he ate like the best flavors. There was like two old fashions left. The point is, we didn't have the pick of the litter. We got out there and got scraps because Wall, you know, gavoned them up.
That is such a classic Kevin Wall story. Kevin Wall most famously did not know we were playing Christmas music because he said all he knows is Bon Jovi. And so then we ended up playing Christmas music for no reason. It was ridiculous.
And there's an ongoing bit, right? And we talked about at the end of Thursday's show when Pete did like the one finger in the air, like, that's my guy, talking about whoever we were talking about getting hired there.
Yeah.
Wall must be a Pete the Body hire because anything negative that could possibly say, Pete got ultra defensive about, including this, that I was the bully and not the guy taking the free donuts.
Well, I did notice that while I was off for those 2 weeks, Pete was off. I don't know if it was simultaneous.
Yeah, the same days.
The same exact 2 weeks, Tuesday to Tuesday.
And you guys returned the same day that I was out and Bogus was out. Yep.
Right. Okay. I did notice on our text thread that Pete had a there was a healthy amount of angst towards you. And I was surprised because I would think 2 weeks away from the show would lead to, more patience and, you know, less anxiety or less frustration. But it did seem like he kept throwing haymakers at you over text.
And that's the point. And I get it. I mean, you get it now. You're extremely tired and zonked when you have a newborn in the house. So, and now you throw in the fact that he's got a three-year-old running around. I'm sure Pete is ridiculously tired. If listening to me and Bogus is making you angry, then don't listen to me and Bogus. We'll be okay with moist pork and the porkettes. We could do without you, Pete, for the 2 weeks.
I have to tell you, now that I see what happened, and AJ's not a poorly behaved baby, but you know, he sleeps at odd hours. You know, sometimes he sleeps in the middle of the night, sometimes he sleeps in the middle of the day, so he's up in the middle of the night. He seems to be always hungry, so he's always screaming for more bottles and more nursing. And you know, sometimes it's gas and sometimes it needs to be changed. But and so there's just, you know, obviously you're just in a daze. And I took the 2 weeks after he was born just to get my sea legs. And I think back to when Peyton was born, and she was born in October, correct?
Yeah, October 10th. And
October 10th, and you were back. Was it the same week or it was a long weekend wraparound?
Yeah. So she was born on a Sunday night, Bills Chiefs Sunday night game, long halftime thunderstorm. I came back on Wednesday. So I was only off Monday, Tuesday, enough to get her home on Tuesday. And I came back Wednesday. My mindset being, you know, I'm going to use paternity later on, but I got, you know, we got football season. I'm trying to be on top of it.
Yeah, and to be quite frank, I don't know if they would have allowed me to take more than that off during football season. Yeah. Maybe I could have gotten 5 days out of them, a full week, maybe during football season, but they definitely wouldn't have said 2 full weeks.
Yeah, that's why I took off almost immediately after the Super Bowl, basically.
Right, gotcha. Now that's coming back to me. Right. So, you know, we had timed up like, hey, if we were going to do this, the best time of the year would be the summer where I could have more flexibility for time off. But now when I think back, like, even forget what you're allowed to take and whatnot, I can't believe your head was in a space where you could come back to work the morning show. What I've realized is this is actually the single worst shift for having an infant, because there's no way for whoever's working on the show, myself, yourself included, to in any type of healthy way, like take some pressure off of the wife for watching the baby overnight. There's just no way we can contribute there. So I don't know how you did it.
It's not good. You think you're all right. You're not all right. Like, your mind, you think that you talk yourself into you're all right. You're just zonked. You're always a zombie. In many ways, it's trained me to be who I am now, which is not healthy. But if I don't grab a nap, I don't grab a nap. Like, I get 5-6 hours a night. I stay up to watch whatever games I got to stay up to, and then I just power through. That's essentially started when I had Peyton. I would go to bed at 11 o'clock, wake up at 4 o'clock, and I'm up for the day. And then I'd power through until 10:30, 11 o'clock the next night, and it sucked. But at some point, your body just registers and starts thinking this is your normal way of life, and it's not a normal way of life. You just do it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if my body ever gets there, because the first 2 weeks, I mean, the first 4 days we were in the hospital, it's just, it's no man's land. It's total survivor mode. And you're sleeping 1 hour shift here, 90 minutes there, 45 minutes there. I mean, you're just
recliner.
Getting, yeah, exactly. Like a little hospital chair. So it doesn't even count as like, is this a schedule? It's just everybody's up all the time.
And I don't know if you went through this every time you fall, the moment you fall asleep, wasn't that time, and the next time a nurse came right in? Oh, that was
Or something beeped.
Yeah, exactly.
And so then when we got home, it was a little bit more quote unquote normal, because I wasn't working at that time. So I could take midnight to 5 or 1 to 5, I was doing 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. so that the Bourbon Belle could sleep a little bit before 1. And then I would get to basically daybreak, and then my wife would have like the early morning. Then I would crash for 3 hours or so, then wake up that I could take them. So there, it was not normal, but it was something. This now is impossible to balance, because if she's got to watch them for the 4 hours we're on the air.
Yeah.
And the 4 hours before we're on the air, where we would have to get sleep, is overnight. It's the middle of the night. So there's no way for the person that's working this shift to also get sleep before the shift.
It's
so
crazy.
What we're doing is I'm sleeping 10 p.m. to midnight, then getting up midnight to 3 so that my wife can get 3 hours sleep in the middle of the night. Then I'm sleeping for 2 hours, really 90 minutes or so before the show. It's basically a nap. And then waking up, you know, to do the show 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. because she's got to be up for that whole stretch. So it's just, it's impossible. So I'm saying this because the fact that you came back to work 3 days after it is remarkable.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those things I'll forever be.
And Danielle is just, I mean, what a warrior.
Yeah. And she got to the point where she was up doing it and still got Taylor to daycare in the process. I mean, there was a whole nother, I don't know, man. It's just, it's one of those things you don't have time to think about as you're learning. You just do it. And then, you know, all of a sudden you look up and you go, when you finally get through it, you're like, how did we do it? And you'll get
it. Yeah, so that's a big deal. Let me say, though, I am so looking forward to Bob's Bar. This is going to be my get-out-of-jail-free card for a day.
We hope there on time. You might hit a hotel bed and then say, screw it, I'm sleeping until 8 a.m. I'll get there when Katie Linendoll gets there.
No kidding. I mean, I am going to sleep in a bed without the baby around for the first time in more than a month when this happens. And who knows? I mean, I might go into like some cryogenic sleep where I wake up in like 2026. So this is really exciting for me. So
yeah, you'll end up in that bad movie where you end up on the planet of the dinosaurs because you wake up and you're in a spaceship, right?
65. I'll end up 65 million years prehistoric. So I'm so excited about this, and I'm just wondering, A, I haven't even really asked you, do we have all of the wheels in motion, everything set up? I mean, so, where are we?
I mean, look, this is what the PGP is for. If you listen to the PGP, you'll kind of get the cutting room floor stuff. And if you don't listen to the PGP, you'll miss some of these nuggets. Full disclosure, this is what we're caught up on. In Badlands Booker, who will appear on the show Friday. In Katie Linnendahl will be coming. I am not ready to reveal the name, but I believe we're at a 90% clip. We will have a UFC fighter on site, which will be good.
Wow.
If not, he's currently in Italy. That'll be your hint, but he lives on Long Island from Long Island. I've been in talks with his brother who plans on bringing him. As soon as he gets back, he's going to form that we're going to make this hit. So he hasn't firmly said yes, but his brother's handling his duties.
Okay.
Which will be good. If Knockout Neil shows up and wants to knock you out, we will have a trained UFC fighter, which I think is great. Boyle, obviously, in for the oil to boil. The bad news is this morning I woke up to a text. J-House now is out as our musical act. He's now been hired for a wedding. So I'm working the phones. I have some numbers for some local musicians. I'm confident we'll get one there, but we do not firmly have that.
Now, J-House actually was live music. He played the guitar. He sang, and he took over the music at 10 a.m. when we signed off and did a couple of hours, and he was excellent. But I did pitch this kind of pseudo tongue-in-cheek. There's a DJ in your neighborhood, right? That DJ's parties?
I thought you were talking about DJ Tommy D, who also says he's in. Yes, there was a DJ in our neighborhood. I did find out after that he recently had a little bit of surgery, so he's not quite ready to spin the tables yet. That's where that's at. I have a call today at 4:15 from somebody flying in from Minnesota to go over some of the details they wanted to call me on. So that's another little breadcrumb for you. And I've been told that person has bought a special jersey to wear to this event. So there's a lot that I think is going to be a big part of Decade of DA. That'll be the on-site Decade of DA, if you will, I think is the plan I'm going with right now. And then lastly, as I've alluded to on the air, our friends at Arizona Iced Tea and Welch's Fruit Snacks are going to be bringing basically a table with plenty of free samples and stuff, including Arizona hard iced teas and fruit snacks to give away and stuff like that. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of good stuff going on here. That's
Schwartz. Schwartz was in for Bogish on Tuesday, and I think he confirmed that he was coming.
Yeah, no, he's definitely confirmed. In fact, he's already texted me twice to see if Entenmann's will be back, which again I'm working on now, because if he doesn't leave with the family's grocery list, it's going to be an issue. So yes, he will absolutely be there. West Babylon is buzzing right now. They just won the Long Island Baseball Championship, so there's a big deal. Plus, a 08 graduate of West Babylon High School just won Wheel of Fortune on Monday night as well. Yes.
Wow.
So it's been a big week in the news here on Long Island for West Babylon. And now with Bob's Bar Show approaching, you know, basically the national spotlight's on us.
Give us a quick thumbnail on where emotions are at for both Bob and Nancy.
My dad's really, really pumped up and looking forward to this
show.
So put it this way, there was some family strife going on over the last month or so that they're not gonna listen to this. PGP got kind of hammered out over the last week and a half or so.
Thank goodness.
There was a big meeting of the minds. It was almost like a movie with a lot of shouting and yelling, and at the end everything's been fine now, which is good. He's part of that. You guys were up on the marquee, you and Pete, welcome to the DA show and everything. Congrats on the babies. That got erased by my sister's bridal party, as she did a bridal party like welcome to my groomsmen or whatever barbecue last Saturday, which also helped because I got to scope out. So my dad was screaming at her that name needs to go back on the marquee. We needed the Asian. As he said, it's big for business that the show is coming here. With that, there was a local Memorial Day parade that goes up two blocks up from Bob's Bar. And a lot of the locals saw me there with the kid, and everybody kept coming up. And I think you're going to have way more locals at this thing than in past years, because they all felt like they missed out, including I was told by a neighbor, hey, can I bring so-and-so, who's an owner of a local restaurant on the water on the docks, who also might be bringing some food along too from the restaurant. He's started to listen to the show, I guess, after last year's Bob's Bar Show. So he's really into it. He's heard us promoted. He wants to come by. There is mounting buzz. And because of that, my dad's wearing it like a badge of honor right now. Like he's really like, yes, the show's coming to my bar. you know, it's almost like he's handing out pamphlets at the local grocer to come out. So I think we're gonna have a good showing locally. My mom, I think, is kind of conceded to the fact that she can't control this thing anymore. So I'm sure when Knockout Neil is urinating on the dog's tombstones, I'll hear about it then. But for right now, there's nothing she can do.
Oh my God, this is going to be epic. This is really going to be epic. I am so excited. And how is the road construction or the sewage construction in front of your house?
Things have quieted on that front. So they did a big dig, if you will, including digging a part of my dad's lawn and not paying for the reseeding, which is another thing. He's trying to fight with the town over that. But things have been paved over, but very unevenly, because it looks like they want to go back in for a redig. But the belief right now is that all construction, if my dad and the foreman are to be believed, will be held off again further until after the show. So we should be okay. I think we should be okay there. And, you know, there should be plenty of room to park. But again, if you have, what do you call this thing, shocks or struts that are struggling in your rent-a-car, or if you're driving, just be aware that Zach could have a little trouble parking those bad boys. And that's the other thing, Zach. This is the most underrated part of this. Zach Gelb is dressing as Matt Rhule and parking cars. That was the initial building block to the show, and it feels like we've done like 8 steps since, and we've almost forgotten that.
Yeah, he's dressed as Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule and will be playing valet for all of our listeners and everybody that comes. I can't wait. I can't wait for him to have to park my car.
And Greg Caserta is confirmed to bring at least 3 dozen bagels as well. So we have bagels.
Wow. Oh, this is going to be a party. So is it true that your dad was flexing on the local transportation department that they better get this all paved over?
Yeah, apparently he went outside. Oh, yeah, because it's something to do with the gas line replacement. So once they kind of fixed whatever they had to fix, they needed to come into everybody's house and make sure their stoves and everything worked before they left that. And my dad has to speak to a manager or whatever that might be. And this guy comes in. He's like smoking a cigarette on the stoop or whatever. And my dad basically told him, if my dad is to be believed, and my mom backed him up on this, that if they are here and or not finished by June, what day? I keep forgetting the date. 16th.
We're the 16th. Yeah.
16th. That there's a big national radio show doing the show from the backyard here. They cannot be distracted or anything. And I think he, unbeknownst, threatened that CBS will be in touch with them if they dare do construction. And I said, well, Dad, A, I don't actually work for CBS. B, let's not do that. Let's not threaten them with that by any means. But I think they were scared off enough from what I gather that that should not be an issue. But yeah, he was totally trying to flex like it was a big deal.
Right. Even though that we are on CBS Sports Radio, technically our parent company is Odyssey.
And I guess I forgot about this 2 years ago or something. In the last hour of the show, they started like tree cutting or something nearby. Or
oh, that's right.
And I guess he remembered that and brought up. He goes, we had this problem 2 years ago. We're not going to have it again.
That's right. That was year one.
Right.
During it. Yeah. The final hour of the show, they were doing landscaping across the street or something. They were trimming maybe the branches around the power lines.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and Foxy just had his 30th birthday, and he is again reassuring me that it's come along good, the old Lang Syne practicing. So he'll be there with the bagpipes ready to go with that.
I didn't realize you were that much older than Foxy.
Yeah, there's a big age gap, because he's one of the best friends, that's how it started, with my brother-in-law, but he was 2 years younger than my brother-in-law. They all hung out in like a group of three, so I'm 6 years older than him.
Oh,
but
wow.
By virtue, you know, everybody hanging around Bob's Bar, you know, everybody knows your name.
I know. It's going to be something else. I wish I could spend the entire day and night. Oh, that's the other thing. How are you going to gauge when people are asked to go home?
I don't know. This obviously is my biggest fear. I don't know. So, I actually had this conversation with my wife yesterday, because she is technically working from home, but she said she's doing most of her work where it won't be a big deal. She's going to bring her computer to Bob's Bar. That sounds like a good idea with the kids and stuff. So I might have to go home at like 11, check in, and I'll leave you back there. I'm like, well, how long do you plan on leaving me back? Like, how long are we going? And she just told me basically, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So I don't know. The Yankees play the Red Sox that night. There's a Stanley Cup game that night. I don't know if this is going to be one of those. I'm going to play it by the hour, and I got to see the people too. I'm starting to get bad vibes, I'm going to pull the ripcord. If it's good vibes rolling, maybe we play it out. But, you know, I don't want to say never, and then I'm feeling good in the mood for a good time. So we'll see.
Right. Okay. So, hey, to be determined, it's going to be a game time decision. We'll vibe it out. You vibe it out. We'll see what the crowd is like. We'll see what the weather is like. We'll see everything like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's coming up a week from Friday. So that is June the 16th is the Bob's Bar show. If you can't make it live, obviously listen and watch because it is going to be an event. You've got Pat Boyle on side B. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. He has some promises to make on Canadian bacon and a big revelation about Pete the Bossy Bilotti.
Okay, stick around. Side B comes at you right now.
Howdy, doo-doo-doo. Welcome into side B of the PGP. How are you? It's Merez back on a wonky week on the DA show. Me and Bogues hosting on Monday. Then I was out with Bogues on Tuesday. Bogues back Wednesday. I was out. Now I was back Thursday. Bogues was out. We just can't seem to put this thing together with a full DA show. With that, Bogues not here. I think he's doing New York Mets radio coverage duty. So Patty Boyle with me on side B now ahead of a big one on Friday. Patty, how are you?
Shawnee, I am jacked up, man. I'm feeling great. It's been a good week. A little every kind of role here for me this week, producing a couple times, doing updates, you know,
whatever hat
you need me to wear, I'll wear it.
So I received an interesting text from you on one of my days off dealing with, well, as DA and, well, Peter already knows, but as DA will find out soon, as the kids get older and they start to sleep, guess what? Sicknesses happen, daycares and everything else. So my daughter had a little bit of a virus. I stayed home. Then I got a little touch of something in the stomach from her as well. But as I'm home, I'm dealing with nonsense. I got a text from you, Pat. And I hadn't listened to, I guess, Tuesday's show. I listened to more of Wednesday's show. So I heard the Gravy Boys stuff,
which was
very funny. And I didn't know Pete was being sneaky like that, texting you for the parlays and stuff. So
and he got on board for the right one, too.
Yeah, good for him. But Tuesday I didn't hear, so that means I missed Canadian Bacon, which was supposed to be originally my return to Canadian Bacon. I haven't done it now in like 3 weeks. And apparently you got 4.25. Again, I still have not heard this bacon. So you text me and say, hey, I'm with you guys on Friday. You're going to be in for Bogus, obviously. I'd like another crack at bacon if you wouldn't mind. And me, look, I respect you more. If somebody else, you know, Greg Caserta asked me that, I'm not sure I'm giving Greg Caserta bacon on Friday. Pat, go at it. Have the time of your life. What I didn't know is that you had already proclaimed on the air that you were guaranteeing your best bacon ever on Friday?
Yes. Yeah. So, again, I appreciate you handing off to me on a dive right up the middle here on 4th and 1 and letting me go for the touchdown.
Take it. Go for it. No ego here.
Yeah. And I did proclaim that if I was allowed to do bacon on Friday, that it was going to be the greatest bacon ever because, you know, DA was right. We talked about it on the show today. I didn't like the way I came out of the gates for bacon the other day. I thought it was flat. You know, I like to write it during the show. Once 6 o'clock hits and we get the show underway, I like to have it on the, you know, on the side. I'm writing it. I'm looking at the game cast. You know, I watch a little bit of the game the night before, but then I dive back in, and I just couldn't. You know, I couldn't find puns. It's Marchessault again. I've run out of puns for Marchessault.
Interesting.
So you know, I kind of hit a roadblock and I was tired, but I wasn't making excuses. It was a bad bacon.
Let me say this, Pat, because this has been something that I've argued that Bogus has rolled his eyes at, DA has certainly rolled his eyes at, and Pete never wants to hear any excuses from me. But I have often said, for as great as you are at bacon and getting a rise out of the crowd successful, the thing you've had going for you most in these last 2 years of stepping into Canadian bacon is pinch-hitting roles. When you could go for broke, when you're only doing it once every 2 or 3 weeks, and then at the end you have 4 of them or 5 of them done by the time the playoffs are done. When you got to do it, especially in the early rounds, every single night for 4 weeks, guess what? The nicknames start to get old. The loss of creativity, it can happen. And I said, if Boyle ever had to do that, you guys would see he'd even hit walls. He's not going to be perfect all the time. And now you're talking about the Marchessault stuff. I mean, we've had the same two teams in it here, and you've done it a bunch. Is it fair to say I might have had some accuracy in that early, you know, report?
I would say there's some accuracy. Again, I still expect a 5 oinker from myself every time I step up to the mic, and it was a bad performance from me. It does get difficult to come up with new nicknames and new puns. That being said, I do expect that from myself. So I will give you credit though, man, because it is not easy. It's like the backup quarterback that when the starters, you know, gets into a bad stretch of games. Everybody's clamoring for the backup quarterback. And
that's always been a big problem with Oinks, man, when you grade with the Oinks. And you're like, you could do better. This was stupid. You know, okay, fine. Give me three Oinks. It's about, was I entertaining? I'm sure some people still do. By the way, you still got 4.25.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been horrible.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, again, I feel like I shouldn't be getting less than a 4. That's what I expect out of myself. I just think the writing that I bring to the table, not to brag, I feel like for a baseline, the floor is a 4. But I feel like Bilotti was almost a sympathetic 4.25. Like, honestly, I got done with it. I was like, ooh. I was like, I hope this is going to get 4 oinks. But, yeah, I mean, I give you credit, though, man, because it's very, very tough to do it for basically every day 4 weeks straight. Now, you've had some time off here. DA's had some time off, stuff like that. But I guarantee you this. I'm coming, stepping up to the mic tomorrow. I don't care if it's a 1-0 game in 4 overtimes with no action but one shot on goal at the end.
I need some sleep tonight.
I'm bringing history. I'm bringing history Friday morning.
Okay. Also, I have gotten reports close to me, sources I trust, that tell me, unfortunately, Marie in Denver will not be making the trip to Bob's Bar. Was this reported on the air at all? Am I not breaking news?
No, you are. Okay. You are breaking news here.
So she wanted to come. She may or may not have even booked a flight to come. I'm not going to get into full details because I don't even know the full details, but I think she suffered. She's fine, but an injury of some sort that's preventing her from basically being mobile.
Oh, wow.
If my reports are believed to be accurate, and I have no reason to think they are not. So Marie in Denver will not be oiling the boil. Meaning, there's a good possibility there's a male figure here, Pat, rubbing some baby oil on you. You going to be all right?
Yeah.
I know part of the appeal was Marie from Denver rubbing it on you.
Yeah.
You could have a guy smoking 1,000 cigars from Arkansas just touching up your pecs.
With calluses and dirty hands. Yeah. I mean, that's something that I definitely would not dream of. It's not something that I want to happen. But, I mean, you guys laid out the rules pretty simply in the beginning. Yeah. Male or female, doesn't matter whoever travels the furthest gets to oil me up. So if there's... I guess I'm resigned to whatever fate there is. Now, hopefully somebody here is listening to the PGP, a nice, good-looking woman that listens to the show, and is thinking, oh, wow, do I make a snap decision to go to Long Island and be able to oil Patty Boyle up? See where things go. See where magic takes us. This is your invitation here. Please save me maybe from cigar-smoking dude or Ragnar Razorback or, God forbid, Dan, Dixieland Dan. I know he'd love to get his hands on me. So please.
Now, Pat, you've won a lot of money hitting big parlays in these NBA playoffs. They were mentioned on the air, all the different amount totals. Maybe it could pay somebody from OnlyFans who lives in Hawaii to take a little flight to Long Island here on a short notice to make sure that you save the day.
Yeah, let's relax. It's not that much money.
I'm just saying.
A couple grand stowed away. It pays for the student loans. I'm not paying for some girl to fly from Miami, $5,000?
Now, I'm just saying. Now, one of the things we love doing on Side B also is talking about how angry Pete gets, okay? It's a mean, bogus pastime. We love getting Pete all riled up and angry. You have been a love child of Pete of sorts. He loves having you on the show.
Yes.
You doing updates for the first time, there was a couple things that the audience was not aware of. You, for whatever reason, maybe same thing just now, you could not hear us through your headphones when we went to talk to you, okay? So you were running a little long at times, both ahead of Stun to a News and up against the epic fail, and Pete's trying to talk to you through your, Pat, we got to get out, Pat, we got to get out. I'm trying to give you the timeout signal. You're not seeing, you're locked in, maybe because you're a little nervous. You want to make sure you get the script right.
Correct.
So for the first time, I need to tell you, you might have a little blemish on the old Pete the Body resume. This guy's got to, he's got to get headphones that work. So just to let you know, now be on alert. I think your golden ticket of being just the king in Pat's eyes, and I wonder if that affects you on the Oinks on Friday. Big deal. Pete not happy with you.
Yeah, because he came in right into the update closet.
After the show?
Right after the show. And
right to the locker room?
He goes, scripts are too long.
I didn't know he did that.
He goes, that's your Achilles heel. He goes, I know you want to make it great and you're locked in, but he goes, it's too long.
Wow. Okay, so that was Pete, the bossy Bilotti.
He laid down the hammer.
I didn't bring this up thinking he had talked to you already. So immediately after the show, Pete wanted to address this. So do you view that as a good leadership material from Pete?
Yeah, I do.
Like the way he handled it? Did you feel worse or better about it?
No, I felt better about it. And Pete has given me some advice on hosting shows before in the past as well. When I hosted for DA and you guys back on July 4th of last year.
Pete's hosted so many that he's given that advice.
No, but Pete's got the radio ear, man. I mean, he's been in the business for how long? 20-plus years here?
Yeah.
He knows what sounds good. His drops are...
They're elite.
Second to basically none in the entire country.
His anticipation, for sure.
So I trust Pete's ear, and I trust that what he thinks sounds good does sound good. So I do appreciate his advice and his feedback. And then also, look, I mean, if Pete's got... You know, somebody's got to be the manager here. Somebody's got to be the boss. If he's got to lay down the hammer, I'll take it as it comes.
All right. So with that, let's end with this. Locker room leader or not locker room leader, Pete the Body Bilotti?
Locker room leader.
Wow. A stunning change. Pete the Body, maybe not a joke of a boss. More on this to come.
And I'll tell you this much, too. There's been some rumblings about, you know, some underperforming players on the roster here, and Pete is wanting to know about it. He's seeking it out. He's looking to make changes. He's looking to improve the roster. You know, he's not like Buck Showalter running out the same stiffs in that Mets lineup every day.
The question is, though, Buck's got authority. Does Pete have any to actually make changes?
I think where Buck Showalter might be losing authority and his job might be on the line soon this summer, I think Pete Bilotti is gaining authority, at least in my eyes. I think, you know, I've called you a locker room leader before. Pete, that C on his chest is getting bolder and bolder in a good way.
What an amazing end to a PGP. I didn't see this coming. Maybe Pete didn't either. King of the Oinks hands King of the Bosses a crown. Where can we follow you on Twitter?
@PatBoyle44.
You can follow me @MirazCBS. Have a great weekend, everyone.